Amid daily attacks and with resources strained by more than 4 years of war, Ukrainians are still imagining and planning for a day when the fighting ends. Howard LaFranchi tells the story from Irpin, Ukraine, of a bombed-out historic building turned symbol. Its caretakers at the prestigious State Tax University see it as an eventual part of the country's broader reconstruction. Among our other stories today, how a densely populated Boston suburb made road safety a priority and has gone 3 years without a traffic death. A Vermont community offers a path for what towns can do when the college campuses they host close. And in South Africa, kids discover the thrill of having a pen pal and learn the world can be both larger and smaller than it seems. It's Wednesday, August 12th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Chris Sherman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Russia's Supreme Court banned an anti-war party. About a dozen parties are registered to take part in Russia's September polls for the 450-seat State Duma, including a spectrum of left, liberal, and right-wing nationalist parties that oppose the ruling United Russia Party. But only the liberal Yabloko Party is explicitly against the war in Ukraine. As hundreds of protesters gathered outside the Moscow courthouse Monday, Russia's Supreme Court struck that option from the ballot by barring the party, which has taken part in every Russian federal election since 1991, from running in this one. Lebanon's parliament moved to abolish capital punishment. A majority of Lebanon's 128-member parliament voted Tuesday to ban the death penalty and replace it with life imprisonment and hard labor. Justice Minister Adel Nasser called it a historic step. Pending presidential approval, Lebanon is set to become the 114th nation to abolish the death penalty, according to Amnesty International. 54 countries retain the practice, including the United States. The parliamentary bloc of Hezbollah did not support the ban. The last time Lebanon carried out an execution was 2004. Also, the Perseid meteor shower has arrived. It is expected to streak across the northern hemisphere sky Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Considered among the best meteor showers of the year, it can rain down 50 to 100 meteors per hour if the sky is dark enough. The shower results from Earth's annual passage through leftover debris from the comet Swift-Tuttle every summer. The debris burns up as it enters our atmosphere, creating the light we call meteors. The shower is called Perseids because it looks like it is coming from the Perseus constellation. The best way to view the meteor shower is away from city lights between 11 p.m. and sunrise. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. The United States struggles with traffic safety in comparison with the track records of other developed nations. There are some bright spots, such as the city of Somerville, Massachusetts, where use of road safety tools and community engagement has brought success. Cameron Pugh reports from Somerville, Massachusetts for The Monitor. The Ukrainian city of Irpin was one of the first places to be attacked after Russia's invasion. Now the rebuilding of its prestigious university is being seen as an example for the country's national reconstruction. Howard Lefranchi reports from Irpin, Ukraine for The Monitor. Taiwan is finding new ways to ready itself for asymmetric conflict with China. Its 2026 defense drills include disabling the internet to test civil resilience and practicing drone warfare strategies inspired by Ukraine. Ann Scott Tyson reports for The Monitor. The closures of small colleges across the U.S. affect their town's economic, social, and cultural well-being. In Vermont, one community turned a shuttered campus into a different type of education destination. Olivia Fletcher reports from Plainfield, Vermont for The Monitor. Through the Protect College Sports Act, lawmakers are weighing in on the new era of revenue-generating college sports. Athletes are wondering who will represent them. Ken Makin reports for The Monitor. Our Africa editor began a letter exchange for local students. She ended up with an archive of childhood. Ryan Lenora Brown writes from Johannesburg for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how Turkey is brightening the outlook for peace. In a region that's a flashpoint for unrest, Turkey has taken a key step toward calming domestic as well as cross-border tensions, and it's one that could lead to new conceptions of national identity that transcend ethnic or linguistic differences. On Monday, the country's parliament overwhelmingly voted for a landmark bill aimed at conclusively ending more than 40 years of conflict with its substantial Kurdish ethnic minority. The legislation outlines processes for conditional amnesties and the reintegration of thousands of Kurds, including armed combatants who have lived or operated from strongholds in neighboring Iran, Iraq, and Syria for decades. An estimated 31 million Kurds are spread across all four countries, and various factions have fought for independence or greater autonomy. Turkey's separatist Kurdistan Workers' Party, also known as PKK, designated a terrorist organization by Turkey, the United States, and the European Union, abandoned the goal of full independence a few decades ago. And in May 2025, it announced it would disband and disarm, thus putting the onus on the Turkish government to move the process along. Many Kurds cautiously welcomed the move as a chance to pivot toward democratic struggle. Garo Paylan, a visiting scholar at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, said at the time. But, he noted, they would want to see concrete commitments on political representation, cultural rights, and the reintegration of Kurdish voices into public life. Last week, long-imprisoned PKK leader Abdullah Öcalan described the pending legislation as the beginning of a democratization process that will be at least as significant as the founding of the Republic, which was established in 1920 after the dissolution of the Ottoman Empire. This phase of reconciliation positions Turkey, a key and well-armed member of NATO, to exert a constructive and stabilizing influence in the region. Ankara had been at loggerheads with Syria for several years, believing it was aiding large numbers of PKK fighters. It also regularly conducted military raids and held territory in Iraq's Kurdistan region. But last year, within 3 months of the PKK announcement, Turkish attacks on Iraqi territory fell by 97%, according to an international rights organization. Now, Turkey is helping Iraq and other oil-producing Gulf states export and import goods across Turkish roadways while the Strait of Hormuz remains blocked. Similarly, it could also support Syria's recovery from civil war. The key challenge is at home, as well as in the EU, which Turkey has long sought to join, as Turkish citizens await tangible evidence of a more inclusive and responsive political system. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has been consolidating power and silencing dissent in recent years. Several opposition skeptics view his gestures of peace toward Kurds as little more than a political ploy to gain popularity and extend his term in office. But Zakir Avşar, a professor at Ankara's Hacı Bayram Veli University, urges a more magnanimous view of developments. What's important, he told the local Daily Sabah newspaper on Tuesday, is attaining a balance among security and freedom, public order and democratic politics, and citizens' sense of belonging. The success of this process, in Mr. Avşar's words, should be measured not by the political advantage it provides to one side over another, but by its contribution to Turkey's common future. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how letting a clear sense of God and His creation take root in our hearts brings great spiritual growth as well as healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Donald Keough, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.